Noble Dairy Queen's new summer blizzard menu is back, and it is stacked. Dive right into the summer celebration with their new peanut butter cookie dough party blizzard. You can sink your red spoon into their world-famous DQ soft serve, filled with delicious chunks of chocolate chip cookie dough, swirls of creamy peanut butter topping, and peanut brittle crunch with sprinkles. If the peanut buttery flavor isn't your jam, their fresh take on cobbler a la mode certainly will. Say hello to the Picnic Peach Cobbler Blizzard. You can also let your taste buds crumble with the Ultimate Cookie Blizzard that features Oreo, Chips Ahoy, and Nutter Butter pieces. Dairy Queen knows everyone loves a good comeback, and fan favorite Blizzard flavors Frosted Animal Cookie, Brownie Batter, and Cotton Candy have made their triumphant return. Summer Blizzard flavors are now available at your Noble Dairy Queen stores with locations in Kankakee, Bourbonnais, Moments, and Manteno. Happy tastes good.
People tend to stick to
hello and welcome to Kankakee Podcast, where we talk about the people and places of Kankakee County. I'm Jake Lamore, and our guest on today's episode is a young singer-songwriter from Bourbonnais who's been singing since she was 5 years old. And now at 16, she just released her very first EP entitled Miss You. You may have read about her recently in the Daily Journal. Please help me welcome Mary Claire Dwyer to Kankakee Podcast. Welcome.
Thank you.
I know you probably are like, the EP's not out yet, but by the time this episode is released, it'll be out. So yes. I am super excited for you. This is your very first ever like recording in your life. Like, you've never released any songs before.
Yeah, this is my first time doing something like this.
Okay, so you must be just super stoked about this.
Yeah, I'm really excited.
So you've been singing since you were five. You started playing guitar at eight?
Yeah, I was in second or third grade.
Oh my gosh, I can't imagine. How did you get your fingers to move? Because as a guitar player, I've always struggled with... I still can't do like the crazy chords, some basic chords I struggle with forming my fingers correctly. So
yeah.
I can't imagine being able to do that at a young age.
Yeah, I had a very small guitar.
That's true. They make the, I forget the size they call it, but yeah, I didn't think about that. So what drew you into music at such a young age?
I just remember like when I was younger, my extended family would have like huge Christmas parties, and they would always do like karaoke or have like someone sing, and I would either sing with my mom or with my cousins, and some of my uncles play guitar, and so I think I've just always been surrounded by it and have like family and love associated with it.
That's cool. That's awesome. Did you ever see, when I was a kid, I would get voluntold, which means you have to get up there whether you want to or not. But my family would make me get up in front of like at Christmas parties, like kind of like what you were talking about. And they'd be like, oh, sing those songs from your Christmas concert at school, you know, and this was like in second grade or something like that. And they would make me do that. Did they make you do things like that?
No, I think I was really excited to do it.
Yeah. I mean, I guess it wasn't that I wasn't excited. I guess I was just, you know, you're nervous, but you're embarrassed at the same time, you know, but that's cool though, that it was part of the gatherings, like your family gatherings.
Mm-hmm.
So besides guitar, you started playing cello before guitar, or was it after guitar?
That was after. I started playing cello when I was in fifth grade.
Obviously, there's some very apparent differences between cello and guitar. There has to be some similarities between the two, right?
Yeah, I'd say so. So a lot of the music that I read is, I don't know, it looks the same. Like if I'm reading sheet music for guitar, it'll look pretty similar to cello music. And it's a lot of using your fingers and, you know, but yeah, there's differences too. I'd say like you have to bow, obviously, with cello or any orchestra instrument. But yeah, I think it was easier for me to start playing cello, like after I already knew how to play guitar.
Because when you started to learn guitar, did you do that on your own or did you take lessons and become trained, classically trained and all that? Or
I wouldn't say I'm classically trained, but I did take guitar lessons. I took them at King Music from Ben King. And then
shout out to Ben. Yeah. Yes, Ben King is the best.
And then also from Andy Ross.
Okay. And Andy's the one that. Was he your producer for this EP? Or I know he had something to do with it, right?
He wasn't the producer. He played electric guitar on one of my songs.
Okay, that's what yes. It was. I was listening to Your Mom Sent Me a Rough of, I think it was Paper Cut.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's the one he was
that,
on.
And yeah. I heard the guitar and I'm like, oh, I wonder if that's Andy Ross. That was, was the first thing that crossed my mind.
Yes.
But yeah, I mean, you know, guitar, cello. And I'm sure there's probably, obviously, singing. You have a beautiful voice.
Thank you.
How do these different experiences influence your songwriting? Because while both of those are string instruments, I mean, they're usually used in different worlds. And a lot of times those worlds don't always meet. Sometimes they do. Sometimes they don't. So, like, how do all of those influences and styles kind of come together for you?
Well, I got the idea to use cello in one of my songs from one of my favorite artists, Leve. She plays cello and she makes like jazz music and she'll use her cello in a lot of her songs. And yeah, I really like her music and I really like playing contemporary music on cello. A lot of the times in our orchestra, we'll play movie soundtracks or one of my classmates actually composed a piece that we're playing. And so I think it's just fun to play orchestra music on orchestra instruments that isn't like all classical, like 1600s, 1700s, like English literature.
Right. Like, hey, we're playing Adele or whatever it might be, you know, something. I always think that's cool. But you have a classmate that actually composed something?
He plays trombone, I believe, and he composed it using software and we're playing it at our spring concert. It's really cool. It's very like atonal, kind of like Star Trek, Jurassic Park. Yeah, it's really cool.
John Williams-esque.
Yes.
So is that for BBCHS or is that for like the Kankakee Valley Youth Symphony?
That's for BBCHS.
Okay. Yes. They have an orchestra.
Yes, they have a string orchestra, and then we rehearse once a week with select like wind, percussion, and brass students, and we do like a full symphony orchestra type thing.
Okay, that's awesome. That's so cool. I wish I would have done orchestra when I was playing. The Beatles, I've heard and read, is one of your main influences. And what are the, you know, specific elements of their music that have inspired you?
I think I love their music so much because it's so simple, but it has so much emotion. Like, as I was learning to play guitar, or even now, if I am like trying to find songs to play at a gig, it's really nice. Like, it's 5 or 6 chord progressions that like are super easy, but the song isn't boring. Like, it has like a lot of meaning and cool melodies, and it's just. I think like every single song that they've written and like recorded is super enjoyable to listen to.
It is.
Yes.
And each one is so different. And
yes.
I think what I love about the Beatles is they made a point to say it doesn't have to be complicated for it to be an amazing song. You know, it can just be something simple and it can repeat itself. And that's okay.
Yeah.
You know, there's so many takeaways from the Beatles, obviously. But do you remember the first Beatles song you ever heard, or what's like the first memory attached when you think of the Beatles?
The first is probably Blackbird, because that was one of the first songs that I ever learned how to play on guitar. I think I learned to play that on guitar when I was in like third or fourth grade, and I played it at the guitar recital that Ben King would usually have for all his students, and I just love that song a lot, and like learning the meaning behind it, and obviously there's so many covers of it nowadays, but I feel like it never loses its meaning.
It's pretty good. I mean, I know like that song I feel like is actually one of the more harder songs of the Beatles, I feel like the guitar, you know, it's not just like a bar chord or a power chord. You've got some different picking styles in there versus the regular, you know, so that's pretty good playing Blackbird in third or fourth grade. I mean, that's that's really good. So you're 16 now. You started writing music about 3 years ago at age 13. And what brought you to finally, you know, put pen to paper, or maybe you didn't even use a pen and paper. What led you to finally be like, you know what? I'm going to try this and see what happens.
I think like I'd been trying to like write music for a while, but it just didn't really like click with me yet. And I think Paper Cut was the first song that I ever wrote. And it was just like, I don't know, it's just super cool to like, I don't know. I would like record myself and listen back to it to see how I sound. And it's just really cool to hear it and be like, wow, like that sounds like the people that I listen to on the radio or the people that like are on my Spotify playlist. Like, it's just like, it doesn't sound like little, like Mary Claire tried to like put different words to a melody she already, like someone already came up with. Like, it was something that like I came up with.
Yeah. And it, cause you know, it gets, I don't know if you've experienced this in your songwriting career yet, but something that will drive me crazy sometimes is I'll get a melody and stuck in my head. And then I think, oh, I got to get this down, and I'll have maybe a lyric to it. And I start putting it together. And then I realize, wait a minute, this song, this melody is from this band.
Already exists.
And it's already exists. Like, has that happened to you yet?
Yes.
It's annoying as all hell. I hate it when that happens. It's so aggravating because you get so excited.
Yeah.
And then it's like, oh, wait a minute. And it's amazing how our brain works that way. We think, like, for some reason, we don't recognize it right away that, oh, yeah, this is from one of my favorite songs. And then all of a sudden it comes out. And I like to bring that up sometimes because I feel like some people think songwriters do that kind of thing on purpose, but it's not always on purpose. Like, a lot of times it just accidentally happens. It's like, oh, that does kind of sound like that one Beatles song, or that's almost the same exact notes. It happens like that sometimes. But you know, that first Paper Cut, you know, being your first song, where did the inspiration for Paper Cut come from?
So I was in, I think I was like starting eighth grade, and I had just had like kind of like a friend breakup. I think that's what my mom calls it. It's just like a friend breakup when I don't know. And it was like kind of my like first like time where someone that I'd like been super close with forever is just like, we just weren't friends anymore. And I don't know, it just hit me really hard. And I had a lot to say about it, and I just felt like I couldn't say it to anyone else besides myself. And so that's what I did.
Why the reference to a paper cut?
Because I feel like when you get a paper cut, people are always like, oh, you're fine, but it hurts so bad.
That's such a great reference, right? Yeah. And that's, you know, I think about those things. I think about those early friendships I had when I was that age. And it's so silly to think about now, right?
Yeah.
But at the time, it's so brand new to you. And that's why it hurts so bad.
Yeah.
Is because you've never experienced that before. And I feel like oftentimes as adults, we forget that. So when I listened to Paper Cut, it kind of brought me back to that time. And I'm like, oh, yeah. Like, I remember that really hurts. And yeah. it kind of was like a paper cut. You know, it's like, oh, you're going to be fine. You're going to live. And I'm like, no, it hurts so bad. You know, so that being your first one, how much harder was it easy for you to just start writing after that? I mean, how many songs have you written since then?
I really haven't written much since then. I just feel like I always get so busy, like as a high schooler, like just so much is going on. And I like find that it's like really easiest for me to write when I'm on a break or during the summer. I wrote one of the songs on the EP, Phil, like right after I got back from a summer camp in Nashville. And I don't know, that one kind of just like progressed over the summer. And it didn't feel like it took a long time just because I had so much time to like do with it. And yeah, I don't know. It's just, I feel like I'm kind of like still getting into the swing of things with songwriting, but it is really fun. Like when I come out with a song.
What are some of the things that you've discovered so far on when you've been songwriting? Things either that have been passed on to you from other songwriters, mm-hmm. or, you know, just discoveries on your own.
I don't know. I think that, like, kind of like you said, like not like thinking too much about it, like it can repeat itself and it's okay. Like it doesn't have to be super complicated, because I feel like I have like a unique music taste. Like a lot of the songs I like to listen to are super musically intricate, and all I play mostly on my songs is guitar. And so sometimes I'm like, wow, my song sounds super boring compared to like other stuff. But
yeah, because I know you like jazz too.
Yes.
And you also obviously you play in orchestra, you mm-hmm. know, and that is different from playing, you know, simpler pop songs.
Yeah.
So
yeah, I think sometimes reminding myself that like it's okay if it is a 4-chord progression and it sounds the same for a little bit of the song. Like, it's especially like when I get in the studio, like it's going to sound completely different.
Mm-hmm. Oh, gosh. Absolutely. And then you start adding all those other elements like bass guitar and electric guitar and, mm-hmm. you know, just percussion, anything that you've added to it. It all comes out differently.
Sure.
So, you know, you just by the time this episode is dropped, people can go listen to Miss You. It's out pretty much on all streaming platforms, I believe, right? Spotify, Apple Music.
Yeah.
And you recorded it up in Brookfield at the Jam Lab. Andy Ross was there. What was the prep like for that? And then what was it like when you finally sat down and you struck that first chord?
So Ryan Leggett was the bass player on all three songs.
Shout out to Ryan too. He's a great guy.
And we rehearsed, I think, three different times at King Music and just made sure that we were prepared, because Andy was telling me that it's really frustrating when you get to the studio and you just don't know what you're doing and you have to take extra time to like figure out what you want to do. And so it's really good to always be prepared when you're going to the studio. And, you know, I just made sure that I was rehearsing like by myself as best as I could. And I composed a cello part for one of my songs. So I really just feel like making sure that I was prepared for everything that I wanted to put into my songs. And then also making sure that like I was being open-minded for anything that the producer wanted to add in. And yeah.
Was there anything that was hard to let go of? Did you have anything that you had to let, you know what I mean? Like, there's always something, you know, whether it's they're like the producer or whoever you're in the room with is like, yeah, that lyric is just not so good. or let's take out that third verse or whatever it might be.
No, I don't really feel like the producer, he was really good. He didn't try to like change anything that I had written. He was really good about that. But he had a lot of ideas. Like, I think originally I wasn't going to have bass on one of my songs, but he kind of heard it there and he was like, I think that would sound good. And so we recorded it and it sounded really good and it ended up being on the final cut.
So what were your expectations though for going to the studio, and how different were they from the reality of the situation?
Saturdays were made for creating, and Little Me's studio on South Main Street in Bourbonnais gets that, so that's why they have open studios Saturdays from 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. It's where your kids can drop in unannounced, practically. No registration is needed. You can pay at the door, and this is for kids 1.5 years old to 12 years old. And what you do is you drop in, you pick a project, and you let the creativity begin. Now, some of those activities include pre-sketched canvas painting, slime making, who doesn't love making slime, friendship bracelets, tote bag design, preschool art stations, and more. This happens most Saturdays, 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. Make sure you bring the kids 45 minutes before closing to make sure they have plenty of time to create. Little Me Studio at 441 South Main Street in Bourbonnais. Across from Olivet Nazarene University, if you have any questions or you want more information, you can always call or text 815-507-2051 or follow Little Me Studio on Facebook and Instagram at Little Me Studio.
I don't know. I think I really expected it to be like a super long process. And I think if like I had like full album, it would have been a longer process. But it really only took like 3.5 hours to record 3 songs. And it was really like we took one or two bass cuts of the song with just me and Ryan. And then we recorded over everything else. And so I think I was just expecting it to be like a super tedious and long process. But I mean, really, it was super fun. And like, I didn't really feel bored like at all. And I'm really interested in like producing music and stuff. And so it was really cool to watch the producer like cut everything and, you know, do all that.
Did that kind of, I know you had that vision or that dream for yourself before you went into the studio, but after the fact, did you feel like that kind of sealed the deal for you? Did you feel an itch like, yes, that's absolutely what I want to do? I really love that.
I think so. I think it was just really cool to see that the producer, his name is Colin Peterick. He has like his own space, and even if he doesn't have any clients in there, like that's like his space, and he gets to do whatever he wants to do with it. And it's so cool, especially like being like as interested in music as I am. I see like pictures of like my favorite artists in the recording studio, and it's just so cool to like be in that position. Even if like I don't end up being the recording artist one day, like it is just really cool to like be in that environment, I think.
Yeah. What do you envision talking about that? What do you envision for yourself at this point? What's the dream?
Well, I want to major in some sort of music when I go to college. And I am interested in audio engineering and like producing music, obviously. But I don't know. I also obviously love performing. And so like music performance is a big part of that. And yeah, I just think like I love music so much, and I don't want to lose that once high school is over, because it's a really big part of like my education. And so I just don't want to lose that.
Having done this EP now, did it inspire you to start writing more since then? Did it make you like, oh, I need to write more songs so I can go back to the studio?
A little bit. I think it feels like less hard to like sit down and write a song. Like, I think when I was thinking about like I wanted to release an EP, it felt like, oh, I have to write more songs because like I don't want to just release one song. Like, I have to have enough songs. But I think now like that pressure is kind of off, and it's just like I can kind of be creative without like feeling like I'm on a deadline.
Yes. It's amazing those things we put on ourselves and just create unnecessary pressure.
Yeah.
And then we realize we're doing it. We're like, oh, I can just do what I want and just kind of let that fall to the side, you know? So are there any stories behind any of these songs you want to share besides, I mean, we kind of did that with Paper Cut. I wasn't sure if there was any others that the stories behind Goodbye or Phil that you wanted to share?
I think Phil is probably my favorite song on the EP. I wrote it when I, like I said, like when I had just gotten home from a summer camp in Nashville. And I'm actually going there again this summer. It's at Belmont University. And, I met some, I made some friends there, and, I've kept in touch with them over the year. And it's, I don't know. I kind of just wrote it about like, having friends that like don't live super close to you, because also some of my best friends live in Richmond, Virginia, and our families are super close. And you know, it just kind of sucks that like you don't get to see them as often, but you're so close with them, even though they're so far.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There is something strange about that. Sometimes you feel closer with those people than you do with the people that are in your hometown or in your hometown area. I think it's just, you don't appreciate them as much because you know that, oh, they're just down the street.
Yes.
I can go see them anytime.
Mm-hmm.
And so we just kind of don't appreciate them as much as we should.
Yeah.
Versus the people that are hundreds of miles away.
Yeah, you know? For sure.
But that's so cool. That what kind of camp was it?
So it was Belmont University's Vocal Arts Intensive. And it's definitely like mostly vocals, but I was able to bring my guitar there and play my guitar. And I know there are so many other people that had brought their guitars, and the counselors are all students, and the faculty of the campus, people that work at Belmont. And it's just a really cool opportunity. And it was very eye opening about like Nashville and just that area. Just there are so many connections there. I know one of my teachers that he taught my artist development class, which is just kind of like branding yourself as like a performing artist. He is a voice teacher, and he is Luke Combs' vocal coach.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
That's really
so
cool.
So, yeah.
Man, I'm sure you were so excited. If you're I don't know if you're a fan of Luke Combs, but whether you are a fan of Luke Combs or not, that is really cool.
It was really cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, you know, no wonder why your voice sounds so great. You know, if you got people like that, that really helps, you know. So, I you know, we've kind of talked about this too. The Beatles have really influenced you, but who else has really influenced you and your songwriting? And
I think that my like music taste has kind of like elevated in the past 6 months, that I've been really into a band called Lawrence lately. They're a brother and sister duo, and like a bunch of their friends from like high school and college. And I don't know, I'd describe their music as like funk, like soul pop, very like upbeat, lots of like horns and keys and all that. And I think their music is like super musically intricate, that I think it kind of like sets like a bar for me, like with my own songwriting. It's just so like creative.
It makes you want to do something like that or something even better than that, right?
Mm-hmm.
So have you, I'm sure you've thought of this, like forming a band, right? A band of people. Has that ever crossed your mind? Like, do you have prospects on that?
Not really. I love going to see like local bands of kids my age. I know the Brass Monkeys. I've watched them before. Yeah. I love them. Yeah, I love like listening to local bands, but I don't know. I haven't really thought about like getting into a band myself. I think I'm friends with a lot of people that play guitar, and I'm friends with a lot of people that play orchestra instruments. And there's like not a lot of in between, like drums or bass and all that. And so like, I think like I just haven't really thought about it or like felt really like the need to seek it out either. I'm in a lot of like musical ensembles at school too, and so I don't know. Sometimes it's nice just to be able to like experience music like by myself.
Yeah, right. Because you're kind of doing the group stuff at school.
Yeah.
And then this is like, no. This is my project. You know, this is my thing. You know, I get to express myself fully and comfortably in this space. you know, where you collaborate in the other space. I think when Alexis McCullough was here, she showed me a video of you two doing a, it was either an ensemble or like a duet together or something.
Yeah, I don't know. We do a lot together. We're in choir together and we're both in the like full orchestra that happens at school. We did a duet last year for our school's like solo and ensemble contest.
That might have been what it was maybe, that she was showing me. She showed me a lot of stuff, a lot of her musical performances that day, and they were all very good, of course.
Yeah, I think we were in a couple things this year for solo and ensemble contests together, too. So, yeah, we've done a lot together.
So now that you've kind of had a taste of it, I mean, you've done a lot of performing.
Yeah.
Do you have a preference between performing and recording? I mean, what have you enjoyed more or maybe the same?
I don't know. I feel like even though I do perform a lot, like I am like still kind of a shy person, and I really just like being able to like, I don't know, just being able to like think out loud with music, like just kind of by myself and like see how it works out. Whereas when I'm performing, I kind of feel like I have to like know what's going to happen next all the time.
Do you feel like you almost put on a different persona when you get up on stage versus like when you're off stage, you can be that shy, reserved person, but then when you get on stage, you kind of have to be like, "Oh no, I'm performing. I have to entertain."
Yeah, I think so sometimes, especially like when I'm in an ensemble at school, like I feel like my music like kind of reflects who I am as a person. So it's easy for me to just kind of be myself when I'm performing my own music. But if I'm performing something at school, like, yeah, there's a little bit of like acting there.
Yeah,
I think so. Yeah.
I've always felt that, you know, there's definitely a difference, you know, and some people kind of get like this idea of you're one way, but actually you're not. You're, you know, you're really just this quiet everyday person, right?
Yeah.
Do you have any like pre-show rituals or things that you have to do before you do a show?
I don't know. The day before, I always try to drink a lot of water because my choir director, she always says like the water that you drink right before you go on stage doesn't matter. It's the water that you drink the day before. And so the day before, like anytime I sing, I always try to drink a lot of water. And I don't know, I think just like keeping myself calm, like not trying to get into my head too much. I don't really have anything that I do like right before shows, but just like not getting into my head, I think is a big thing for me.
Yeah, that's a big one right there. I know it seems you've been playing regularly at Flight 102.
Yes.
Do you have any other upcoming shows like this summer or anything?
How can you be relaxing on that new Tempur Ergo Pro Smart base when Frank's Appliance Center and Sleep Source has so much going on?
Shh, I'm winding down with this new soundscape technology in this Tempur-Pedic base. Come. Join me.
Not all of us can practice retirement. Someone has to work to mark down all the display mattresses and appliances for the big sale.
You need to chill out. Stress is not good for you. Come on, try this new base from Tempur-Pedic. It will change your life.
Okay, fine. You want me to relax? I'll relax. Happy?
Stephanie Ann, are you seriously sleeping with all this work to do? Boy, I'm never going to be able to retire with all your self-care time.
What? Oh, man, that adjustable base is dangerously good. Everyone should have one of those. And with free financing, it's definitely affordable.
Finding it hard to wind down and relax? Stop by Frank's Appliance Center and Sleep Source to try the new Tempur Ergo Pro Smart Base. Now is the time to invest in you.
So this summer in August, I believe it's the first weekend of August, I'm playing the farmer's market.
Okay.
So yeah, there's that. And yeah, I don't have anything for, the Wildflower Farm. I'm playing at the Wildflower Farm in...
That's Monee, right?
Yeah, I believe it's in Monee. sometime, that's not the summer, September and October, sometime in there. But I don't have anything for sure yet.
Well, you're going to be spending some time in Nashville.
Yes.
It sounds like. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I'm sure that's how many weeks or a week or 2 weeks?
Yeah, just a week.
Yeah. So you've got, you know, some time taken up there as well.
Yeah.
So, I mean, people can just look up Mary Claire on Spotify. Is it under your last name too, or is it just Mary Claire?
It's just Mary Claire.
Okay, yeah. So if they just look up Mary Claire on Spotify and Apple Music,
yeah,
or if they maybe just put in "Miss You," that might come. Probably a lot of things would come up.
Yeah.
but specifically if they put in your name, that'll come up.
Yes. Well,
and you know, I've only heard Paper Cut. So far, I think it sounds great.
Thank you.
And I'm excited to hear the rest of it.
Yeah.
And then you're going to perform for us today. That is, if you want. It's totally up to you. I don't know what you were planning on playing for us, but I figured, you know, now would be a good time to set up for that and do that.
For
so
sure.
what's the song that you want to play for us today?
I was planning on playing Phil.
Okay, yes. Sweet. I was hoping you were going to say Phil because you said that was your favorite song.
Yeah.
So I'm like, okay, I'm hoping that I get to hear one of the songs maybe I didn't hear. Although, now that I think about it, your mom did send me some demo recordings too. So
yeah, there were
maybe
some
one
demos,
of those was
yeah.
Phil. But regardless, I'm excited to hear it. So
yeah.
Mary Claire, thank you so much for being on Kankakee Podcast.
Of course. Yeah. Thank you for having me.
Of course.
Rain is pouring, and out the corner of my eye I see a shining light. It's you. You're what I need. You're just too far away to be seen. 219 days till I see you again. We see each other twice a year, it's not enough. We keep the memories by trading random stuff. And honestly, everyone back home really sucks. How is it that you're the only two people in this world that really truly make me feel I'm hurt? Oh, oh. I wish you were here. I'm not Pink Floyd, I just have this big void that only you and your big hearts can fill. Trying something new, far away from home, and I don't know anyone but myself. Forced proximity brought you to me, and I don't know anyone. I miss you in the town you live in. I miss the place we met. Only 3 more years, and yet that still feels like forever. Oh, why doesn't home feel like home? Why do I have to hop a flight to feel like I'm in the right place? Oh, oh. Conversations on the phone, but at a football game, I don't know where to go. calendar for next summer, 'cause we're so busy. Only 218 days till I see you again. Oh, I wish you were here. I'm not Pink Floyd, I just have this big void that only you and your big hearts can fill.
Such a great performance by Mary Claire Dwyer. Thank you so much for dropping by the podcast to perform for us and have a little chat. Her song, Fill, from her debut EP, Miss You, is available now on all streaming platforms. You can catch her live this summer on July 6th at Locavore Farm in Grant Park for the Dine on the Land dinner at 6 p.m., July 11th at Ryan's Pier from 6 to 9 p.m., August 3rd at the Kankakee Farmers Market at 10:30, August 10th at Locavore Farm, she's back for Dine on the Land dinner at 6 p.m., August 11th, she will be at the Wildflower Farm in Monee from 12 to 3 p.m. And September 15th, she will be back at the Wildflower Farm in Monee from 12 to 3 p.m. That concludes this episode of Kankakee Podcast. I'm Jake Lamore. Thank you so much for listening. Please hit that subscribe button if you haven't already and leave us a rating and review on Apple Podcasts and Spotify. Follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn at Kankakee Podcast. Shout out to Stephanie Vanderwide for supporting the show each month through Patreon. If you want your name announced on a future episode, you can sign up at patreon.com/Kankakee Podcast. Special thanks to our sponsors, Chicago Dough Company, Noble Dairy Queen Stores, Frank's Appliance Center and Sleep Source, Pigosh Engineering, King Music, Little Me Studio, Taco John's, D. Westfall Jewelers, and Edward Jones Financial Advisor Adam Elroy. Kankakee Podcast is produced by the fine team at Pathfinder, a full-service marketing agency in downtown Kankakee. Learn more at yourpathfinder.io. Our theme song is by Lupe Carroll.
This river carries on.